Take your Bibles with me, please. We're in the book of Daniel tonight again, and we're in chapter 6 together. I will try, by the grace of God, to finish this chapter. Daniel in the lion's den. You know, the world sees these stories and they make fun of us. They think we're the most gullible, brain-dead people in the world. But I think if you looked at their lives, you probably wouldn't come to that conclusion. And these stories are just as real as creation's story. And we want to look at this great, great example of Daniel and what we can learn from it about him being in the lion's den, because I don't think he's alone there. Daniel chapter 6, we've come to verse 16, if you'd go there. As we read, the Bible says, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." You know, it'd be enough if it was just one down in there. You don't have anywhere to run. You don't have a sword. You have no other protection. But it wasn't just one, it was a whole den of them. The Bible says in verse 16, "Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." It's a strange thing for a heathen man to say. "And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet." Of course, all that's prophetical of Jesus and the stone they rolled in front of, but that's prophecy, and we won't get into that tonight. "The king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel." Verse 18, "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know, the first thing I see is in verse 16 where it says, the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Daniel is in the den of lions by the commandment of the king. I want to make spiritual application in this regard. You probably don't need to turn. You probably have heard this verse all your life. But the Bible says, be sober. I'm talking about 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world. You know what this world really is, Christian? This world is the devil's cage. You can see that because he has dominion in it. You see how things are going in the world. And there's not just one lion in this world. There's a whole den of them. There's all types of devils Satan doesn't work alone. There are many devils and there are many adversaries and there are many things in this world that cause me to think that it's not just Daniel in this den of lions, but that it is God's people. It's all the servants of the king. It's all those who know the true and the living God. We find ourselves in a den of lions, and if you don't think you're living in a den of lions, you better hold on, because if God doesn't stop their mouths, they're going to bite your head off. We're in a den of lions. That's exactly what this world is. And we're there at the commandment of the king. The king commanded that Daniel be thrown in the den of lions. Do you remember what we preached back there in John 17? Would you turn there right quick? You know, you and I are in this world at the behest and the command and the will of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, why are we in such a terrible mess in this world? Because God wants us to be here. And why does God want us to be in a den of lions? To show the world the true and the living God. To show the world that there is a God that rescueth. And there is a God that it delivereth. And there is a God that's bigger than a den of lions. There's a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. There's a God of heaven that wants to be the God of my life and wants to rescue souls of those that are perishing. And so He sends us into the den to show the deliverance to the world of that which can be brought. Jesus said, you remember this, John 17? Jesus said in John 17, 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Again, this world's full of lions. This world's full of devils. This world is full of danger. This world is full of sin. Why don't God just take us all out of this world? Now, one day He will, but not while we're living our lives for Him. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Isn't that what God did with Daniel? God left him there and there with all those lions, but He kept him from the evil. Look on down a few verses. He said in verse 18, look at there, John 17, 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Will you go to Matthew 10? I'm trying to tell you tonight that Daniel went into the den of lions at the commandment of the king. And we have a king of kings and a lord of lords. We have a God of heaven. We have a sovereign. We have the king that's eternal and immortal and invisible, the only wise God. And I'm telling you, it's at His command that we have been sent into this den. And you're not going to get out until your testimony's over. Matthew chapter 10, watch this phraseology of Jesus. A little different from the lions, but I think it speaks volumes. Matthew 10, verse 16, here's where the 12 disciples are sent out into the world. And in Matthew 10, 16, He says, behold, Jesus said to His disciples, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of what? You see that? At Jesus' command, He sent them like sheep into the middle of a bunch of wolves. That's just like Daniel being sent down into the middle of a den of lions. And it's all for the purpose of God, and it's all for the glory of God. And the next time you ask God to just get you away from the lions and away from the wolves, you might want to stop and think, what am I here for? And what can God do to show Himself bigger than the wolf or the bear or the lion or the sin that's in my life or the circumstances that I'm going through? He's there at the command of the king. Would you go back to Daniel? I see something else. I mentioned this as we were reading. He says in Daniel 6:16, Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now that's weird. The same king that throws him into the den of lions says, you're going to be delivered. He goes into the den of lions with a promise of deliverance. Now equate that to what we just said. God just doesn't send us into a terrible, devil-infested world. God just doesn't send us to live the Christian life with the roaring lion walking about us, seeking to devour us. He sends us with a promise that He will deliver us. God is able to deliver thee, though by sin oppressed. Go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver us. So he goes in with confidence. Now, if it had been us, we'd say, well, if you think he'll deliver me, why are you sending me down in here? You know why he's sending him down into there? I'll jump ahead. You see verse 25? You see all people? You see all nations? Do you see all those languages? You see all those people that dwell in all the earth? They're going to get a decree about the living God who is steadfast forever, who is able who is the one who has a kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. I'm telling you that Daniel is going into the den of lions because there is a whole world that needs to know about his God. And they're not going to know about his God unless they see the power of his God. Unless they see the message of his God. But he goes with a promise. A proclamation that he will deliver. He will be delivered. He, thy God whom thou servest. Look at that phrase again. Look at verse 16. Thy God whom thou servest. What's that word, church? Continually he will deliver. Now look up here just a moment. If you don't consistently serve God continually, don't be under the impression that all the lions are going to leave you alone. Daniel goes down into the den of lions with a heart that has been steadfastly committed to God. He was steadfast with his God. He said that again, the king did in verse 20, thy God whom thou servest continually. And you know what really is the test for Daniel? Can he endure this? Now, how many of you, I better not ask show of hands. I would ask, how many of you have some kind of phobia? Maybe you're claustrophobic you don't have to raise your hand, brother. Poor old brother Paul having to fly on those airplanes and he scrunched up with all those people, he got claustrophobia. But you know what? Maybe you've got a fear of dogs, you know. Like one with a head about the size of a pumpkin, you know, and teeth, you know. I tell you one thing, if I knew I was going down in the den, I'd, oh God! Right? Here's the question, Daniel. Can you be steadfast? Can you endure this? There'd be some of God's people going down the den of lions. They'd have a nervous breakdown before they got to the bottom. Right? You're going down and the light's starting to fade. Some people afraid of the dark. You're afraid of the dark, you don't want to go to the den of lions. Some people would just crack up, literally. And here's the question. Okay, Daniel, you've served God continually. Are you going to be able to endure this? Can you persevere through this difficulty and accomplish the will of God for your life? Are you steadfast enough in your will that you're going to see this through and do the will of God and trust God and believe that promise of deliverance? So look at verse 26. Do you see in the middle of verse 26? For He is the living God and steadfast forever. You know why the testimony that God is a steadfast God? Because they saw an example of somebody else that was steadfast. He wasn't freaking out. He wasn't yelling out to the king, please don't let him hurt me. And the scripture calls out to us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Yeah, preacher, it's getting dark. Unmovable, always abounding in the work. Preacher, I can smell them, those lines. Don't you know they stunk? Preacher, I'm about to reach the bottom. Oh God, what am I going to do? Be steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I say to you, there is no reason that Daniel should have any confidence or endurance going down into the den of lions outside the truth that there is a real God. And that's the question, how real is He to us? I'm afraid the lions are a little more real to us than God sometimes. I'm afraid the dangers are more pressing upon our mind and our hearts than a big God. The other night when Brother Knox went through all that diatribe, the last night, you know, and lost about half of us. I love that. And at the end of it, you know what was hitting my mind? Man, how big Jesus is. I mean, He's just going to come down through, amen, through the universe, and He's going to tell those principalities and powers what for, and they're going to bow, and He's going to rule the world. And it was real in my heart. Look, this isn't doctrine. This is real. There's a real Jesus and a real God that's going to rule forever, and a real God that's there for Daniel. And Daniel believes Him. It's impossible, but he believes Him. I see he went down into that den of lions by the command of the king. I see that the king made a proclamation that he would be delivered. And by the way, let me say this. Do you remember what those three Hebrew children said in chapter 3? You remember that? They didn't know whether they were going to get out of the furnace or not, really, right? But they, what did they say to the king? Either way this goes, we're getting delivered.
Amen.
Hey, church, guess what? Either way this goes, we get delivered.
Amen.
Now watch this. Watch the protection. Look at verse 18. Would you go there? Daniel chapter 6, verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And of course, verse 19, he runs in the first light of day. He runs to in haste, the Bible says to that den. And he cries out, verse 20, with a lamentable voice. This has really gotten a hold to this king's heart. He loses sleep. He stops eating. He removes the music. That right there would drive half of our society crazy if they couldn't go around with this 24 hours a day. You know, there are some things more serious than your music.
Right.
You know, there are some things more serious than you eating.
Right.
There are some things more serious than you getting a good night of rest.
Right.
Here is a heathen king that is so burdened for Daniel. He doesn't know God, church. He says, I'm not going to eat. I can't sleep. I'm not going to enjoy any of the things of the palace. all I can think about, and all I can pray about, and all I can talk about, and all I'm ready to do is run to see if Daniel's still alive. I wonder how he's spending the night. I wonder what's happening in that den. He was overwhelmed with the burden of Daniel. I wonder not if a heathen king had that kind of a burden over one of God's servants. I wonder what kind of burden we have for anybody. You ever pass the night fasting, and you ever had your sleep go from you because you couldn't get the burden? You couldn't get the burden off your mind. Oh God, please. This one is in the lion's den. Please, God. You know, church, there's a lot of people in the lion's den, not just the lost people of this world, but there are some saved people in the lion's den. And you know the bad part of that? And I've had to spend many a sleepless night over that. But here's the bad part of that. Would you drop down and look at verse 24? I mean, usually when we read verse 24 as Christians, we start hollering and screaming and shouting, "Whoopee! All the enemies, they got cast into the den of lions and they all died. Glory to God! Revenge!" You know, that's not what I saw today as I was meditating in the Word of God. I read verse 24 and the Bible says, "And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions." Them, what does it say, church? Their children, their wives. You know, dear friend, your sin just didn't destroy you, it destroyed somebody else too. And if you don't serve God continually, and if you're not faithful to God, and if your heart is not trusting in the Lord, and you go into this wicked world like a lot of Christians do, all you're going to be is fodder for the devil to chomp on your life and chomp on all the lives of the people you love. How many dear Christian people have I seen in these 20, 30 years of ministry? I've watched them go down into the den of lions, and instead of coming out rejoicing and prosperous and testifying and as an example to God, I watched them go down in the den of lions and I saw their bones break. And I saw their children's bones break. Their wives' bones break before they ever got to the bottom. Preacher, I don't know how this is going to end. And I'm telling you, if your heart's not trusting in the Lord, if your heart's not right with God, if your heart's not set on God, if you're not serving God continually, before you get to the bottom of the things in your life, the lions will have already had the mastery and the pieces will be left as they fall to the bottom. Because most of the people that go down the den of lions don't come out. I'm preaching tonight to somebody. The lion's mouth is about to crush your life. See how you know that, preacher? Because I preach to it all the time. And all that's left is peace. How vigilant should we be to pray? Wouldn't it be better if we spent some sleepless night over our sin or over our failure? Wouldn't it be better if we gave up some of our food or some of our enjoyments to see how important it is for us to stay away from the lion and stay close to God? The testimony is the pieces don't have to be left at the bottom. You can come out of the den. But you got to go into the den like Daniel to come out of the den like Daniel. I'm telling you, when I read verse 24, I know that that's a picture of when Jesus comes again and all those that have rejected Him and hated Him and crucified Him and all that, they're going to be judged. I understand all of the prophetic significance. But what I read in verse 24 is tragic. Can you see the kids going down there? Daddy, what's happening? Mom, what's happening? And Dad, if he had any character, would say, well, we're here because I stood against God. Oh, if I could gather people's minds and let them watch that scene of the families go down and the lions feast. Maybe there would be a pause. Maybe there would be a pause to consider how powerful and how gross this world is and how serious it is for me to stay away from the sins that so easily beset me. There are lions at the bottom. Oh, it's no big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. And I can't sleep about it. Well, the Bible says in verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? My question to you, church, tonight is God, do you think God's able to deliver you from whatever? Is he able? Can he fix the problem of your heart? Can he fix your addiction? Can he fix your marriage? Can he fix what's broken in your mind? Can he fix your family? Can he fix your young people? Is he able to do that? You know what I really think? I think Daniel, when he got down, this is me. Now, my mind, my imagination runs wild. When it hits the Bible, it just runs wild. Now, he passed the whole night down there with those lions, right? What is he doing? I mean, after a while, I think he probably got the idea, you know, they're not going to bother me. And you know why they couldn't bother him? The next verse says that God shut their mouths. Boy, I can't wait till God shuts the devil's mouth. And he's going to do it one day, brother. But you know, here's the thing. He can do it in your life today. He can shut the devil's mouth today. He can shut the lion's mouth today. Now, I literally think they could not open their mouths. I don't think it was because they weren't hungry. I don't think that he went down in there and they got tamed all of a sudden. I mean, they could not open their mouth. Now, when you think about that otherwise, I mean, lions can kill you more than just with their mouth. But whatever it was, Daniel's right in the middle of them. And I don't know, guys. I mean, if what would you do if you got down there? I'd just say, okay, God, I'm ready to go. Are you not coming? Lord, make it quick. Right? I mean, don't let me sit down here 4 or 5 hours and let them gnaw on my legs and stuff, Lord. Let them get me right here. I'm just talking out loud. But I mean, after I believe he probably was praying. I mean, Daniel's a praying man, right? I think he's down there praying. But I think after a while, he quit praying. You know why? You know what that verse says there? God sent his angel down there in that den. Well, who are you? Well, Daniel, you remember a couple chapters ago? And I don't know where you were, buddy. But there were three of your best friends, and they went through the same kind of thing you went through. It wasn't a den of lions, but it was a den full of fire, and they went down in there. And you remember how they came out, and they were unscathed, and how Nebuchadnezzar looked in that fire, and he said, the form of that fourth is like the Son of God. You remember that, Daniel? Yes, sir. Good to meet you, Daniel. I bet the praying and the begging stopped. I don't know. I think Daniel may have had a good time in that den of lions. I think he may have had a good time fellowshipping with the angel of the Lord, which is an appearance of Jesus Christ, of the Son of God before His incarnation. And he had personal fellowship with the Lord in the den of lions. And I think he was captivated by the Son of God a whole lot more than these ugly lions all around him. No, I don't think he's praying and begging God, oh, please don't let him eat me. No, his angel's right there. You say, how did he know that? He knew that because he told the king that. His angel's down. He didn't just say, God shut their angel. He said, no, an angel came down here and told all these boys where to go. Y'all line up now. Okay, shut your mouth. How you doing, Daniel? Boy, I sure love you, Daniel. You want to play checkers? Now you laugh at that, but look, when you've got the Son of God personally fellowshipping, I think it was a wonderful time. Now you got a choice. You got one of two choices. You can stay in fellowship with the Son of God, or you can let the devil chew you up and spit you out. It's your choice. And by the way, what? I don't know. Maybe Daniel took him a nap in there. But I don't think he was begging God for his life. But listen, you know what? The king was begging for his life. I heard a story. I'll just give this. Maybe it'll help somebody. I don't know if it will or not, but I'll say it anyway. Heard an old preacher. Long recording. He said his wife had died, and he was having problems sleeping. He couldn't sleep at all, And I'm not giving this testimony to tell you what to do about you can't sleep, okay? I'm just giving an illustration this old preacher gave. And this old preacher, he couldn't sleep at all. He's up in years. He didn't have, his wife was gone. He just couldn't sleep. He prayed about it. God, give me some sleep. He couldn't get any sleep. He went to the doctor and said, well, you're going to take all this medicine. And this is way back in the 70s before everybody was medicated, you know. So he went back and he saw that medicine. He got on his knee and said, God, I don't want to take this, but I got to get some sleep. I'm dying here. Again, I'm not telling you not okay, please. Don't misunderstand the illustration. Some people need medicine bad. Okay? And some people need God a lot worse. But this preacher got on his knees and he said this. It was profound. He said, God, since you're staying up, ain't no sense in both of us staying up. Lord, either you take a nap and let me stay up, or Lord, you just stay up all you want to and let me get some rest. And God just put that old man to sleep. You know, Christian, sometimes it gets to a point, it's not worth both of us staying up. If the king, you got the picture? If the king neither slumbers nor sleeps, if the king is always on guard, if the king is always watching, behold, he that keepeth thee shall neither slumber nor sleep, Psalm tells us. I think down there in that den of lions, I think all was peace forevermore in the heart of Daniel. Preacher, what do I do in the den of lions? Well, you need to fellowship with the Son of God. You need to trust God that the Lord's proclamation of deliverance is true. And the Bible says, look at the protection God gave him. Look at verse 22. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths. Look at it. Look at your Bible. That they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Look again at verse 23. At the end of the verse, so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. No hurt. Not a scratch. You know, that's the same thing it said about those three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25 and 26. It said they had no hurt. No smoke on them. Oh God, please give us some Christian people in the 21st century that get through life with no hurt. No hurt of the devil. I'm not talking about the hurts of life that all of us have to endure. I'm talking about the hurt of the lion's mouth. The lion doesn't have to chew you up. Matter of fact, as I read my Bible about those lions, it says, if I will resist the devil, he will flee from me. Is that in the Bible say? Is it or not? Well, I'm going down the line and oh, the devil's after me. And the devil's after me because what I do? You resist him! And he runs! I don't understand, church. Why is the devil so present in people's lives that name the name of Christ? You know why? He's not being resisted. He runs if he is resisted. And this is the generation of Christians that do not resist the devil. They just give in. Resist? No. No. He runs. I've tried that with some dogs before out witnessing. It didn't work all that well. Maybe it had a different devil in them. I don't know. In Jesus' name, get back! Must have just been a dog. He's not the devil. But if the devil's in your life, listen, if the devil's in your life, it's because you're letting him be there. I'll give you another verse. Neither give place to the devil. The devil cannot have a place in your life unless you give it to him. Daniel goes down there and says, get away from me. Daniel goes there, don't touch me. Here comes the lion over to Daniel. Don't come near me, get over there. You know, some of us don't have the courage to look at the devil and say, get away from me. Go over there. Go on back to hell where you came from. Get away from me. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. How about that other verse about that we preached? I preached it a year ago, and it was the saving grace for people that were here that day if they'd listened, but some didn't. And that verse said this, take unto you the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All! Well, why aren't they quenched in my life? Shield's not up. Faith is small. And by the way, what really delivered Daniel? Would you look back at this text? I'm about finished. You know what Daniel thought delivered him and what actually delivered him were different? You know, a lot of times we think, I tell you what saved me from a life of sin, what saved my family from being ruined is X, Y, and Z. And a lot of times that had nothing to do with it. Let's just read what Daniel says. The Bible says this in verse 22. This is Daniel's testimony. My God sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. Well, look, this is the reason he thinks. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You know why Daniel thought he got delivered from the lion's den? Because he was innocent and he didn't do anything wrong. You know that's not why he got delivered from the den of lions? Can I tell you something, church? If it takes complete innocency for all of us to be delivered from the den of lions, we're not getting out. Who among us is totally innocent? Well, it's because I did all these right things. That's not why you get delivered. Why did he get delivered? Next verse, 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for it. Boy, isn't it great when God delivers somebody? Isn't it great when God delivers somebody from the devil? Brother Mike was giving me a testimony of some of these teens that ride the bus. You know, when they get that old, they usually don't want to sit in church anymore. We had a whole passel of them. Y'all know what that word means? We had a whole bunch of them sitting here this morning. And one of them rode home in the van just talking to Brother Mike about what the message meant to her so much this morning that was preached. Isn't it great when God helps somebody? I don't know about you, but I'd rather focus on that than all the people that get eat up. The king rejoices. Wasn't that good? Miss Margot got baptized a few weeks ago. Wasn't that good? And y'all pray for her. Can I tell them? Can I tell them? She walked in. We sat and we talked and we prayed together the other week. She said, "Preacher, God's just speaking to my heart. And I've tried and I can't quit smoking." She walked in this morning and said, "I quit." That's rejoicing, brother. That's a blessing. We need to hear more of that. God delivered me. God gave me some victory. Instead of, "Oh, did you hear?" God's still delivering people. God's still rescuing people. God's still saving people. God's still doing the work. I got off the phone with Brother Kyle. And Brother Kyle said, "Preacher, I just got to lead 2 people to Jesus Christ." I said, "Well, glory to God." God's not dead. He can deliver. The king was glad. Exceeding glad. Verse 23. "And commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was upon him." Look at the writing of the inspired writing of the Holy Spirit. Because, now this is not what Daniel is saying. This is what God is saying about the event. Are you with me? Daniel said, "I got delivered because of innocency." God, the Holy Ghost, said he was delivered because he believed in his God. Whew. Church, it's in the epistles of John. What is the victory that overcometh the world? Even our faith. And the devil chips away at that faith as he roars. As he walks about, as we see the casualties, and the Bible tells us, just like the early church was told in Acts 14:22, to continue in the faith. He says, "Through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God." But he said, though how hard it is, and though how many lions are down there, how many devils and wolves are down there, continue in the faith. What do? You just believe God. And Daniel's going down in that lion's den. He just says, "Well, Lord, I believe you. I just believe you. I just believe you. I believe the truth. I believe what you say. I believe who you are. I believe God." And the safest place for Daniel was in that den of lions, because God was in there and God showed himself able. And when they were taking him out, and the king said, paraphrase, "Are you there?" You know what Daniel said to verse 21? This is beautiful. 21. "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king," what's that? Boy, guys, this is beautiful. First time I saw this, I was just preaching in a church. I preached this one time, and I was preaching this in a church, and this hit me right between the eyes, and I literally almost started just running laps. Because I had not read it in the book. I must have not studied enough. Now come here, listen to this. Daniel, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, went down into that tomb, right? Stone rolled, sealed shut, impossible to get out. The mouth of the lion on him. And he comes up out of that pit. And you know what he wants people to know? You can live forever. He went down into the den so that you and I, a bunch of heathens, could live forever. Now watch it. Come here now. Don't lose the illustration. You know why you're down in the den? You know why we're in this world? So we can declare to the people of this world, you too can live forever. There's a God that has eternal life that can give to you. And when Darius hears that, he makes a proclamation to all the world so that they'll know about this God that not only has the power of life, but has the power of eternity. Daniel was willing to die so that the king could live forever. Oh, that we would be willing to be faithful to God so that others would see that power and hear the message. And they would trust that ever-living God. And so they don't have to be destroyed. All that stuff I gave you, with all the emotion I could give, and I probably could have given a little more, but I'm afraid it might just put it over the edge a little bit. He said, "Preacher, that's awful about all those children, all those wives, all those people getting chewed up by the devil. Well, somebody better start spreading the news, because that's where they're all headed." And it closes. Don't you love happily ever after? You know, happily ever after don't end in this world. There is not a story in this world that lives happily ever after. But God can make the end of your life that way. Would you look at verse 27? "He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel, remember they said that Daniel, remember that the first part? And God says this Daniel. This Daniel, what's that next word? Prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And we already know how he prospered in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Three different kingdoms. God prospers and exalts Daniel. And three different times to the whole world gets the message that our God is a living God. Now you got a choice. You can't choose the fact that you're in a lion's cage in this world. But you can choose whether or not you'll trust God and you'll believe God and you'll serve Him continually and you'll fellowship with that Son of God. Or you'll let the devil get the mastery of you.